Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It is International Women's Week. And earlier, Manisha, you and I spoke and you talked about how years and years ago at this big organization, you discovered that your male counterparts were being paid more than you. Mm-hmm. Follow-up question, was this an accidental discovery or did one of them decide to show off to you? How did it happen?
Oh, no, it was an accidental discovery and it was more by speaking to other female members and and realizing and going through their experiences.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so a discovery through your own transparency in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, this really troubles me because it's interesting to know that in a latest Robert Half survey, it was revealed that one in two Singaporean women say they are underpaid.
Yeah, I've seen this. So this survey also reveals that 54% of female office workers feel underpaid compared to only 40% of their male counterparts. Mm. However, while almost two-thirds of men secured additional salary with their current employer during the recruitment process, only 43% of women were able to secure the same.
Why are women in Singapore feeling underpaid? Surely there's something that can be done for them to receive better pay in their next job, or, you know, just for the genders to receive equal pay in that sense, or as close as possible to equal pay.
Yeah, these are such important questions.
On the line with us this morning to help us out is Fen Teo, who is Associate Director at Robert Half. Fen, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm good. And happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you too. So we got to talk more about this study. What was the aim? What's the sample size, the age group? Tell us more, please.
Sure. This study is developed by Robert Half and conducted by an independent research firm through an online data collection methodology surveying 500 office workers in Singapore. And the key findings showed that 54% of female office workers feel underpaid compared to only 40% of their male counterparts. Mm. And 53% of men secured additional salary with their current employer during the recruitment process, compared to only 43% of women.
So in breaking down the numbers again, we saw that 54% of female office workers felt underpaid compared to only 40% of their male counterparts. Why is it that you think they feel that way?
Our research tells us that more female than male office workers in Singapore feel that they are underpaid in their current role. Feeling underpaid can stem from many reasons. One common reason I found is that women who take on a role with lesser pay in return for better work-life balance, more often than not, end up feeling shortchanged as they realize that the amount of time put in the current role is the same as the previous one. Whatever the reason, it is important to address the feeling of pay dissatisfaction as it can affect self-motivation and retention.
Very interesting point. I guess sometimes also it's work-life balance not being fulfilled.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe if you actually get the work-life balance, you feel good about it. Then, so 63% of men have secured additional salary with their current employer during the recruitment process. 43% of women were able to secure the same. What are you deciphering from this? Is it because men are more aggressive, they have better negotiating skills, they push for what they want more as compared with women?
In fact, a big portion, 43% of women, were able to successfully negotiate additional pay during the negotiation process. Our research found that 20% more men obtained extra pay.
Okay.
This suggests that some women are less willing or able to actively negotiate a higher pay with employers, although they want and deserve it as much as their male peers. Our experience tells us that women can be more risk-averse and prone to avoiding confrontation, which can potentially inhibit negotiation. And there could be various reasons to explain this. It can come from concerns about appearing aggressive, fear of being rejected, or fear that they may even jeopardize a great opportunity. However, no one should perceive negotiation salary as a confrontation. It is simply a discussion to establish the value of the employee to the organization, and it is the prerogative for the employee to address their needs openly.
I want to get your opinion on this, Fen. And Manisha, feel free to jump in on this. What about if, say, I'm a female, I've come into the workforce, and from day one, I've started on low salary. And you know how it is, right? During interviews, they say, what was your last drawn salary? And they feel afraid to ask for more because they think they're only worth their last drawn salary. And that's not right, right? It shouldn't be a factor, correct, Fen?
Yes, Yes, correct.
Yeah, I wondered about that because, and I want to relate what Elliot was saying to women in particular, because I think you've just alluded to it. I've often had the conversation with other women in a workplace where I felt that women needed to do a better job of supporting one another in pushing these sorts of negotiations and encouraging one another. What's your take on that?
Definitely. Women should understand their market value and able to quantify their value to the employer. And also knowing the right way to broach the issue of higher pay can go a long way to making salary negotiations less uncomfortable and even more successful.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to say, even for a second, that there's something that women are not good at. But if your research is showing that actually there is some sort of a weakness there in terms of salary negotiation, you could say that that's just a legacy thing. I mean, then the question comes, what can employers do to encourage everyone, no matter who they are, to step up and to fight for what they think is their right in terms of salary negotiation?
They should actually provide an environment whereby women feel empowered to address their remuneration needs with employer, both in the recruitment process and throughout the employment, in order to achieve long-term pay satisfaction. Overall, employers need to know that offering a competitive salary is critical to attracting, motivating and retaining staff, and business should treat remuneration as an investment in the most valuable asset, which is their team.
But you know, earlier, Elliot asked me a really good question, which was, we were just talking about my own personal experiences, and he asked me, how did I find out that I was being paid less than a male counterpart? That's part of the problem. How do you get accurate information? Because salary is based on experience, it could be based on, you know, different variables, whether you're a man or a woman, and also there isn't always transparency. So how do you get information?
Definitely. Salary negotiation is a lot easier if it's backed up with hard data. Therefore, do some research by finding out what other companies are paying for similar positions and by checking out resources like the Robert Half Salary Guide that shows typical salaries for someone with similar skills and experience across a range of roles and industries.
You know, I think you shouldn't just empower women. You should empower men to empower women to go fight for higher salary.
Totally agree.
You know,
totally
instead
agree.
Of doing the reverse where you put the man down, you make them responsible for helping the ladies. And then we will see it become more effective psychologically, my own opinion. Fen, I want to continue talking about some of these tips that you have, right? One of them is to allow space to negotiate. So once you've compiled information on current salaries, decide your optimum pay and whatnot, what is the art of negotiation here? How can I negotiate well? How can I keep it realistic at the same time, Fen?
First of all, once you have collected information and assessed your market worth, decide on your optimal pay and keep it realistic.
Okay.
Make your pitch professional. Make it a compelling business case why you're worth the salary. And the best way to convince an employer is with hard evidence about the value you have added to your current role or your previous one. And being able to put a dollar value on the uptick in revenue or reduction in costs that have resulted from initiatives you have introduced can seal the deal.
I mean, just for the sake of, like, if I'm going to ask for a certain amount on top of my previous salary, do you have a guideline in terms of percentage? How much more should I ask?
I would say it could be in the range of 10 to 15%.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, when you're making a resume or a CV then, and you want to get that in front of employers, is it worthwhile putting the figure negotiable when you're talking about or you're raising what your salary is in the salary section? How would that be perceived?
I guess it is no harm putting it down as negotiable because crux lies in having interview with the employer and letting the employer assess your worth during the interview.
Okay. Fen, so all said and done, you've got the role. When should you raise the matter of salary? Right after receiving the initial job offer or just let HR be sort of automatic when it comes to this?
Yes, the most suitable time for a job seeker to raise the matter of salary is right after receiving the initial job offer.
Okay.
Fen, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about this survey that you did. What was the most surprising aspect of the survey that came out of it? And I'm just talking to you now, like woman to woman, and in the context of International Women's Week, what was the most surprising thing that came out of it? And what is it you think women should hear the most?
I think it is important to develop strong negotiations for all professionals, whether you're women or men, in order to meet their career goals and achieve long-term pay satisfaction, whether in the recruitment stage or in their current role. And for business, offering a competitive salary is a crucial element to attracting and retaining top talent. And it's also a key driver behind employee motivation and loyalty, all of which contributes to the bottom line for the organization.
And is there a sense that here in Singapore in particular, employers just need to do a better job of this?
Employer needs to know that having a fair remuneration policy, and with women feeling that they are currently being undercompensated, employees, including women, need to feel empowered to address their remuneration needs with their employer, both in the recruitment stage and throughout their employment, in order to achieve long-term pay satisfaction. And overall, they need to know that offering a fair salary is critical to attract, motivate, and retain staff, and it definitely contributes to the bottom line long-term.
We've been speaking with Fen Teo, Associate Director at Robert Half. Fen, thank you so much for taking the time this morning, and we wish you a happy International Women's Week, yeah?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.